You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
The After Party, episode 2 of Westworld, entitled Chestnut.
Is that what it was called?
It was called Chestnut, yes.
The first one for the record, there was no chestnut in there.
The first one for the record was called The Original, appropriately enough.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but I think that was referring back to the, as it turned out, even though it was the pilot episode, I think it's a pun because it's actually referring to the main female robot character in the little reveal.
Well, there's that and The Original, and then there's also the wink, wink, nudge, nudge, the original Westworld, you know.
Yes.
So, yeah.
But even then.
It's a triple entendre.
As much as Evan Rachel Wood is in the first episode, she's really not in this one that much.
No. She has, like, that one searing moment where she's just, like, you know, giving Fanny Newton's character the evil eye and going, like, and quoting Shakespeare at her.
Yeah, the same.
Oh, shit, okay.
The same line her father said to her.
Yeah.
And then a lot of this episode is about Fanny Newton starting to go
absolutely
issues.
And it's giving this, you know, more credence to the fact that they kind of discussed in the opening that it's just like, oh, well, some of these, you know, quote unquote people, some of the hosts, you know, were in other storylines and they've been moved out and moved about. And obviously, you know, we're getting one of her early, you know, at least we would think one of her early storylines with a guest appearance at the end by the Man in Black.
Yes.
Our, you know, when I prefer to call him the Gunslinger because of all of the Lost comparisons that this series is probably going to draw. We might as well give him something to set him apart.
Yeah.
Although he is like, you know, and once again, it's fucking Ed Harris being just like out Clint Eastwooding Eastwood. but you know, the character is like already second episode, just incredibly iconic. And that was exactly what I was thinking. It was just like, wow, he's just like the Man in Black and Lost.
Yeah.
You know,
and now
he's the king in yellow.
And now we've been given a tantalizing sort of double bit of information about him where we see the tech guys going, no, he's a guest. But then,
well, he didn't say he's a guest. He's saying that guy gets whatever he wants.
No, he did. They did refer to him as a guest.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All
right. But right after that, he says, yeah, I've been here for 30 years. I was born here in a way. And I'm like, is it possible they're going to tie this in where he is Yul Brynner's robot?
I don't know. And that may be because, you know, the 30 years coincides with the, hey, 30 years ago, something fucked up happened. That's all that we have is there was a crash. You know, which obviously means something horrible. There's definitely that. And in addition to this, you know, the most tantalizing bit of information I think really we get out of this, episode is that, Jeffrey Wright's character has pretty much been using Evan Rachel Wood's character as a mole. Mm-hmm. You know, that he is, you know, kind of deriving metrics out of her, if nothing else. Of how the game's going and, you know, what interactions there are, within the, and I'm going to continuously refer to this as a game because it's fucking Skyrim, dude.
Yeah.
You know, there's no question about it. It's just like, you know, once again, dude, if you're in games or games designer, watch the fuck out of this because you'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, even though, you know, the narrative guy is kind of comes off in a really bad light in this episode, I still really appreciate the, like, wow, I can totally see that. And, you know, I've totally been there where you're like, oh, hey, here's something that I think you want. And the powers of beer are like, no, we need to think out of the box in this one.
Thank you for spending 6 months working on something we're not
exactly
going to use. Now, Jeffrey Wright's character, of course, we were talking about last episode how, like, it seems somebody is messing with it, and this one...
Yeah, this pretty much says, oh, it's him.
Oh, but maybe it doesn't. I was thinking about this, and you could reinterpret that entire scene to say, maybe he's investigating.
He might be investigating, and it's obvious that Ford, the Anthony Hopkins character, he's been, you know, spending a lot of time in the Matrix, as it were, using it to talk to his younger self.
Yes.
Just like, all right, therapy dude. And
controlling his snake.
Oh my God. And that line of that everything is magic here except the magician. I'm just like, wow, you just summed up video games.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love that. And you know, obviously the clincher, our clincher at the end is he's like, no, this, I've been, I've been working on a new storyline and it's something unlike anybody's seen before. And you're like, once again, we're doing the, you know, that thing that really great TV like this makes you do is just, which is wonder like, oh, well, is he orchestrating this whole thing? Is he the guy behind it? Is this just, you know, can we take him at face value and he's just come up with a great storyline? You know,
it's
all that great stuff.
And then part of the reason why I think Jeffrey Wright is actually investigating is because we find out he's actually emotionally involved having sex with Teresa Cullen, who's the operations leader there.
Which and makes I, me think. I don't that, know if I would say emotionally involved.
But well, fair enough. But they have like a partnership of one kind or another here. Yes. And I wonder if they're not sort of working together because they know something. They're shenanigans.
They're shenanigans.
Yeah.
They're shenaniganizers.
Of course, we get two new characters in this one that are brought in as park visitors.
Yeah.
The main one here, even though Ben Barnes plays the douchebag friend, the character it's clearly choosing to focus on is William, who's played by Jimmy Simpson, who we've seen in a lot of TV shows like The Newsroom, House of Cards, Psych, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah, he's definitely right up there in the, like, you know, he's the 20-something guy that you're always like, I've seen that dude.
Yeah, he looks like what the fuck is it? Wormy Christian Slater.
Yeah, very, very much so. I think that's a way to go.
But you know, at the same time, I feel like I'm like, dude, relax. What do you want to be Barb on Stranger Things here? Start having fun.
You're gonna die. I think it's far more likely that his douchebag friend is gonna die in a much more horrible way.
True,
because he's kind of like, you know. He's basically like a nerfed version of Bateman's character in American Psycho.
Yeah.
You're just like, hey, if you ever wondered what it'd be like to go on vacation with that guy, where, you know, maybe he's not killing real people, then here you go.
I mean, to be fair, he's been to this park a lot, so maybe it's just gotten to that point where he's like, sometimes I just like to randomly kill dudes.
And it's kind of annoying because it's very much like, you know, if you had, you know, went into multiplayer mode with somebody where you're like, hey, I'm totally new to this game, and they've played through, you know, the first, you know, 50 levels, and they're like, no, don't deal with that guy, that quest is a turn. It's like, well, maybe I wanted to go with the old prospector.
Yeah. I feel bad, though, for William's character, because you're like, oh, dude, you are so going to fall in love with the robot.
Oh, yeah, no, he's
and
totally.
Like, that's bad call. This is why you're a bad guy when you go to Westworld, so you don't fall in love with the robot.
And he said, you know, I've got somebody, you know, waiting for me at home, which is just like, at this point, I'm like, I don't know. Once again, just as a side note, because I want to put it out there, this whole series so far, as far as what its setting is, aside from the world itself, you know, the quote-unquote world itself, that world outside is like fucking Alphaville, dude. You don't know what the fuck is. Is this another planet? Is it, you know, is there a secret island somewhere?
Well, it's definitely
is it a satellite? Who the fuck knows?
Pretty distant future.
I mean, obviously we're dealing with, you know, technology that is, you know, much more advanced, you know, but... You know, who fucking knows?
I mean, they have said we've cured death.
Yeah.
They said that Anthony Hopkins says that in the first episode. There's no one dies anymore. Next thing we'll do is bring back people who died. It's like, that's the only step left. So I'm thinking pretty far in the future.
So we're at least, you know, we're looking at Gattaca level.
Yes.
Here. But yeah, it's like, the idea of, you know, where these people are coming from, what world they're talking about when they're like, I've got somebody who cares for me back in the world. It's just like, what the fuck, what does the world mean? What is that?
What are the rules there?
What are the rules there? And yeah, you would think that at least, you know, this is ostensibly the future. Yeah. You would think that somewhere in the marriage contract now there is like, oh, and robot sex is okay.
Yeah, because because if it wasn't... Like,
no one would get married.
Don't ever let your husband go to Westworld.
Exactly. No one would get married, or no one would travel. Because it's like, I'm sorry, we have to spend all of our time with each other because otherwise you will have robot sex. And I will have robot sex.
Yes.
So there's just no going.
There's just
going
to be robot sex across the board. Until the robots get sick of it and kill us all.
I mean, and I'm like, I understand the greater issues, and I'm sure if Johnny Neal was here, we'd have a great big discussion over why fucking a robot is really weird and you shouldn't do it. But if I can have sex with an Evan Rachel Wood robot,
yeah,
I do that.
I think it was 10 minutes into the first episode when I screamed, take my money.
Sold, American.
We also get Clifton Collins Jr.
Yes,
we bemoaned we didn't see in the first episode.
Oh my God,
but is
one
in the second
one. Favorite character actors of all time. And yeah, the moment I saw him, I was just like, is that, you were like, that's Clifton Collins. I was like, yes.
Yeah.
And oh my God, man, I would just love to talk to him about the process of working with Harris. Cause you know, like, you know, as an actor, I'd be like, well, that would probably give me the biggest erection on the face of the planet is to be able to work with, you know, like him or Duvall or Hackman or anybody of that caliber. You're just like, oh fuck, you know, I'm in the big leagues.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Collins is one of those guys who, if I was him, I'd just be like, with most other actors, I'd just be like, psh, whatever, dude. I totally got this. You're fighting a ninja. Your kung fu is nothing to me. Mm. But then go up against one of those big leaguers, and you're like, oh, now we can dance.
Now, in this first appearance, they don't give him much to do except to react with Ed Harris being awesome.
Yeah.
You know, but that sequence obviously is going to be really important as we like that maze shape on the back of the scalp. What is that? And that it's an actual maze that means something. I mean,
yeah, because when I first saw it, I was like, oh, it's a printed circuit.
Yeah.
Of some kind.
But it sounds like, no, it's not at all. And like the little girl sort of going beep and could, you know, going, this is how you get there. But in kind of Western speak anyway.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Well, like, you know, the gunslinger brings up, he's just like, the more I press the host, the more emotional distress I put them in. That's how you get them to get into that mode where they will actually answer questions, which explains why he, like, really, really fucking tortured that guy in the first episode.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But it also, once again, comes back to, so I don't get it.
Yeah.
What is he looking for that he needs access to that level if he's a human in there?
If he's a human, yeah.
Yeah. And if he's not a human, then why the fuck are they letting him do whatever the hell he wants?
And the big, like, the biggest question mark as far as that relationship goes, as far as what he is the fact that he does indeed get shot quite a bit by the host, which are not supposed to be able to do that to humans.
Yes.
And you know, they have proven that, yes, firearms in this work, it's only the, you know, three laws of fucking robotics or whatever they have at the core of all of the androids that's keeping them from blowing everybody away.
Right. So
that's an interest. That's my biggest poser. I'm like, is he a cyborg?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they'll bring Yul Brynner back.
And I think, you know, one of the most, you know, one of the more simplistic explanations, but one which definitely leapt into my mind, is that he's some kind of corporate espionage agent. That he's like, you know,
why would the text be like, no, that guy gets to do whatever he wants?
Well, this may come as a surprise to you, but sometimes they have more than one inside agent.
True. That is a possibility. Yeah. I'm actually kind of...
That's the banal one that seems
unlikely to me.
I would hope so.
I mean, the amount of carnage this guy's causing, you know, there's no way the bigger...
But you know how it is. When you watch something like this, and there's so many, you know, different ways that you could go, you're like, okay, well, I can think of the very complex one. What's the simplistic one as well? Because... You know, stuff like this is entertaining because it's literally throwing a school of red herrings at you every episode.
Yes, it is. And my brain be all splody. Well, thank you for joining me for episode 2. We'll be back for episode 3 soon enough. Listen to us then.